You're listening to Linux News Log, episode number 118 for Tuesday, February 13th, 2007. Welcome to the show. You're listening to the Linux News Log podcast at linux.clicksurf.com, your source for Linux and open source related news on the net. Hey everyone, how's it going? You're listening to Linux News Log. I'm your host, Adrian Bacon, coming to you almost live from lovely Phoenix, Arizona, here in Studio BR2. This is episode number 118. It's Tuesday, February 13th, about 10 o'clock p.m. here in Phoenix. And we have a great show for you. I've got a guest here. He's turning red. I've got a guest here in my little labyrinth, if you want to call it that. Listening in, my brother-in-law flew in from Portland, Oregon this afternoon. So if you hear anything in the background, it's just him. Go ahead and say hi.
What's up?
I don't know if anybody heard that or not, but anyway, Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And we are also listed over at Blueberry, BlueBrry.com, the place where podcasters and podcast listeners finally come together. Let's go ahead and get into the news for this episode, starting off with ebizq.net. Swedish Armed Forces migrates from Windows NT to Red Hat. Red Hat, a provider of open source solutions today, announced that the Swedish Armed Forces has made the decision to migrate its servers from Windows NT to Red Hat Enterprise Linux. Following the deal, the Swedish Armed Forces will start replacing Windows NT with Red Hat Enterprise Linux across its core IT infrastructure. So that's kind of interesting. We're going to be following that as things unfold with it. The next story that we have is from the IT Jungle. At itjungle.com, Linux distro RPath gets venture backing. Commercial Linux distributor RPath, which is located at rpath.com, which has a variant of Linux and a build system for creating and deploying software appliances based on Linux, last week said it had closed its second round of venture capital funding. General Catalyst, Northbridge Venture Partners, and Wakefield Group have together kicked in $9.1 million in Series B funding, which RPath will use to market and expand its RBuilder and RBuilder online tools. General Catalyst and Northbridge have already together ponied up $6.4 million in Series A funding. So we'll see how that turns out for RPath as time goes on. From New Zealand Reseller News at reseller.co.nz, IBM pumps up Linux virtual mainframe machines. Organizations running Linux and virtual machines on the mainframe will soon be able to throw more workloads onto the system thanks to an update to the ZVM operating system that now scales across 32 processor units compared to the previous version that scaled to 24. The new release, ZVM version 5.3, is expected to begin shipping on June 29th. However, IBM detailed updates to the operating system on Tuesday, which would be today. The next story that we have is from SDA India at sda-india.com. Trolltech partners with VirtualLogix to bring Linux to mass market feature phones. Trolltech and VirtualLogix have integrated Trolltech's Qtopia platform for Linux handsets and VirtualLogix VLX software on a single core processor. Trolltech, the company that makes the software faster to build and easier to use, and VirtualLogix have formed a partnership and will be demonstrating the single core processor form factor at 3GSM, the company said. And for those of you who aren't aware, 3GSM is going on right now. I don't remember what city it's in, but it's been going on so far this week. The next story that we've got is from cnetnews.com. Linspire laps up Ubuntu Linux. Linspire, a version of the Linux geared chiefly for desktop users, is moving to an Ubuntu foundation. Linspire previously had been based on Debian, which also is the base for Ubuntu. But on Thursday, Linspire and Ubuntu backer Canonical announced the shift. So they've got some more feisty going on there. If you want to check that out, feel free to head on over to news.com and check it out. Our sponsor for this episode is GoToMeeting. These days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just aren't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. GoToMeeting is a versatile tool. It gives you the ability to host online meetings, which is an absolute must for today's business. With GoToMeeting.com, it's just like you're all in the same room. You also get unlimited meetings for one flat rate, which means that you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. Try GoToMeeting free today. Okay, the next story that we've got is from Tech World. Linux to power Super Router. A group of networking experts has launched a projected design to give Cisco's routers some open source competition. The router called the Open Linux Router joins some other efforts at bringing open source into the world of routers, notably the extensible Open Router platform, otherwise known as ZORP. Sponsored by Vyatta, but aims to add features such as file sharing server and a firewall. So apparently a bunch of Michigan students are the brainchild of this, and looks like they're serious about giving Cisco a run for their money. From webpronews.com, Russian schools consider switch to Linux. Earlier this year, former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev sent forth a public plea to Microsoft chairman Bill Gates concerning the prosecution of a Russian man charged with installing pirated copies of Windows on his classroom's computers. Microsoft has declined to drop the charges against the teacher, and the move has the county's educational system reconsidering its choice of operating systems. Gee, I wonder why. Consequently, it looks like Windows will lose out to Linux in another market. You know, it doesn't take that much to figure it out. From NewsForge, Mandriva Linux 2007.1 Beta 1 has been released. The first beta release of the upcoming Mandriva Linux 2007.1 is now available for download and testing. So if you're a huge Mandriva fan, get on over there and check it out. The next story that we've got is from LinuxDevices.com. Motorola touts updated Linux Java phone platform. Motorola is showcasing its Linux and KJava-based music phone for U.S. and European markets at the 3GSM World Conference this week in Barcelona. That's where it is, in Barcelona. The Moto Rizzer V6 is said to be based on a new Linux operating system that incorporates KJava. So, I'll be interested to see how this turns out. It looks like they got a little slider phone. It looks kind of like the Razer, but instead of flipping open, it looks like it slides. So that might be interesting. I wonder how well it actually works in practice. From TMCnet.com, Oracle announces Linux for billing and revenue management. Oracle has announced that Oracle Communications Billing and Revenue Management, a convergent real-time enterprise revenue management application, according to company officials, will support the Linux platform. Oracle officials say customers running Oracle Communications Billing and Revenue Management on Linux may benefit from lower total cost of ownership, and that hardware, operating system, environment, and support costs may be lower in environments using grid computing with the Linux operating system than the traditional Unix enterprise server or mainframe environments. So we'll see about how that turns out. Oracle is always really bullish about that type of stuff, but in the reality doesn't always match what they're hyping. Okay, that will pretty much do it for this edition of Linux News Log. I do thank you so much for listening. As always, you can always go to our website. Everything we've talked about is linked up in the show notes at linux.quickshrift.com. You can also send me email, linux@quicksurf.com. I do accept audio comments. And you can call the voicemail hotline, 602-466-3134. That's 602-466-3134. You know what? I just remembered I have an email from one of the listeners. So if you'll give me just a second, I'll be right back and we will read it. Okay, the email is from listener Christopher. He says, "Hey, I just wanted to do a quick reply to the comment that you posted. I will admit that's a premature response since I haven't heard the whole audio comment as yet because I had to shut it off because I was coming into work. But I just wanted to send you some counterpoints to the first few points that that guy made. He's right that open source is partly about convenience, but he is wrong on some points. There are portable players out there that do OGG, plenty of them. Some are really nice. I bought one, the iAudio X5. Of course, it was specifically because I wanted OGG support in USB mass storage mode when plugged into a Linux box, but there wasn't really a sacrifice in choosing that player specifically because it played OGG. My favorite feature of it is bookmarking songs, so I can listen to a long podcast in parts and save my place in it." That's a really nice feature, actually. It had a ton of features and was still cheaper than an iPod. If the guy had an iPod, there's always Rockbox and iPod Linux that he could install, and he could get OGG support that way. His next comment was on how to switch your library over to OGG would cause you to lose information, which is false. I don't know about that. It depends. Anyway, he continues on, "You're obviously not going to gain any new information from switching a lossy format over to another lossy format. You'll have exactly the same amount of information, but what you do gain with OGG is a smaller file size." Actually, that's only partially true as well. Which is exactly what happened to me when I switched my library over to OGG format. Every file sounded exactly as good, and each file was a few hundred kilobytes smaller, and with as much music as I have, around 50 gigs, it adds up. I use the MP32OGG, which is command line script, which makes it easy to convert the whole library to OGG. I just typed it in and left it there till it was done. Took a while, but the computer did all the work. What the guy is missing is that open source is more about options than convenience. You have the option as a user or developer to do things that aren't possible with closed systems. In reality, many of those options don't come with convenience. I'm sure early Linux users would say that using it was less than convenient. If my response is uninformed, I apologize, but I just had to respond before I forgot. Once I hear the whole comment, I'll probably send in one as well. Go right on ahead. I'll probably just use the voice recording feature on the iAudio. I'm just glad that you're in support of it. I'll continue to use the OGG feed because you made it make it convenient for us. So anyway, that's his rebuttal to the last comment that I posted on the last show last week. And if anybody else has anything to say, feel free to go ahead and send it on in. Other than that, that will pretty much do it for this show. So I will talk with all of you next week, and we will see you then. Bye-bye.